Congrats to Chief Randall and his team on reaccreditation at PPD. They've earned reaccreditation for the 911 communications and the law enforcement operations. And accreditation standards provide norms against which agency performance can be measured and monitored over time. So it's good for 3 years. So congratulations, of course, to Chief Randall and his entire team to continue to have those exemplary achievements out there.
Yeah, every couple of years I have to go through this process, and it's always good to have it officially recertified. Joining us now, we have Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. You don't want to say it's a big deal because it's kind of a formality, but, you know, there was a time when it didn't happen, mostly through kind of paperwork, you know, kind of stuff, not anything substantial. But it's always good to get reaccredited, right?
Yeah, it kind of is a big deal to us. I mean, there's a lot of departments that are not accredited. Being accredited has many benefits. But basically, to break those down, there's lots of benefits. You know, a department can say that they train, that they have policies and procedures, they do this, they do that. But accreditors come in and make sure that is the case and make sure that we're up to par and our training, our equipment, our personnel is doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we've been accredited solidly since 2018. And like you said, we got it again now, so which will be good for 3 years. And it wasn't just the police department itself, it was also our dispatchers. So you've got a lot of professionals up there that are answering the phone calls that our citizens are calling in every day.
And by the way, when I say not a big deal, what I mean is, and I certainly see why, all I mean is, like, I expect you to. You know what I mean? Like, I just expect that it's going to be the case. It would be a big deal if it didn't happen. So it's not surprising. But, yes, it is absolutely a good achievement, and I'm proud of you guys for being able to get that again, as you have done so many times in the past. Let's talk about traffic, because I know that is on everybody's mind. Coming up with the parade this Saturday and Friday night, the biggest change, the one that has got me the most worried about what's going to happen traffic-wise is, of course, as we said many times, if Main and Bayfront are closed from Wahoo Stadium all the way to Veterans Memorial Park, all the east-west traffic is going to have to find another way, Cervantes. All the people like me, the mayor correctly called me out on this, I had admitted it anyway, that I like to come in about 40 minutes before the parade, I like to park down somewhere near the port or the, you know, backside of the Plaza Luna, that kind of vicinity, and then, you know, New World Landing area or old New World Landing area. And then when the parade is done, you know, my part of it, I like to get in my car and go. Can't do that this year. But my understanding is that there's some flexibility here that we might not have known about, particularly on Cedar Street. Because that had my thought is, why not just use Cedar Street as a workaround? You could protect the intersection of Palo Fox and Main without actually closing it off. But you tell me there's some more to this story, right?
Yeah, so if you're going to park where you mentioned, you can still do that. Just get there an hour ahead. Mm-hmm. You'll still be permitted to do that. But there's been a lot of anxiety about this change, especially Main Street. So I'm here to answer those questions, so let not your heart be troubled. If you are coming in from the west, we will get you to your destination. We know we have residents like at Port Royal. We have business owners. We have customers that want to go to these businesses south of Palo Fox. And when you come to an officer that has a closure on Main Street, if you let that officer know exactly where you're going, then we will get you to your destination. It may not be the fastest route that you're used to taking, because if you're coming in from the west, we will send you down Cedar Street to Palo Fox Place. If you're coming in from the east, we will send you down Commandencia to get to your destination. But we're going to get you there. The key is to get there as early as possible. So people who work there and who live there, we're going to get that taken care of for you.
Okay, so there is going to be what I would call local access for residents, business owners, shoppers. The whole south of Maine, that whole kind of peninsula area, is not going to be 100% closed off. It's going to be at the discretion of the officers on either side of those barricades. Is that kind of the right way to think of it?
Yes, just let the officer know where you're going. Now, what's not going to work is if you come in from the west, like from Barrancas or Pace, and you're trying to get on the bridge. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to be much faster if you just take Pace to Cervantes or go up A Street to Cervantes and then come back down 9th Avenue or go to 17th Avenue to cross the bridge. Through traffic will not be permitted, but local traffic, when you tell the officer where you're going, it will be permitted. Now, if you decide to tell the officer that you're going to South Palafox, but you change your mind and you want to go across the bridge, you're going to get turned around on the other side.
Which
so,
is, I assume that's why you have,
work out too well for you.
I assume that's why you have the one street one way and the other street the other way is to control that. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So the kind of on the map that we've got up on our Facebook page that you guys have also put out, the sort of south of Main green zone is some access to that based on individual judgment. And then once you're down in that area, of course, you can drive. What about leaving that area? I had somebody ask me, if I live down there, will I be able to leave even after Main and Brank, even after Main and Bayfront are closed? Or somebody had asked me about, I work at the fish house and I get off at 4:00. The parade may not be over by then. What about me? What's your answer for those folks?
Yeah, we're going to get them out. We're going to get them to where they need to go. The people that are watching the parade, Main Street will be the first one open. Main Street is not supposed to have throws or the moon pies and the beads and the debris on the roadway that we have to keep it closed down so the street sweepers can do their job. Main should not have any of that on there, so it should be opened up. The first street opened up after the parade, which should be within 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay. So
maybe faster than that. It all depends on the debris or lack thereof.
What time is that? What time does the parade usually get done at, like, last float through getting to Palafox and Main? Is that, like, 5:00, 4:00? I don't really know.
I'm not going to touch that, and the reason for that is because this year's parade is going to be bigger. There are more floats. A lot of times there are gaps in the parade that we try to prevent. There's lots of reasons why this parade could end at one time one year and an hour later the next.
Okay.
I like to say 3.5 hours, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay. So you'll know when it's done. You'll know it when you see it. No, and I appreciate that. That's an honest and accurate answer. So I wouldn't want you to make a promise that you can't justify. We're talking to Mike Wood, a public information officer for PPD. Hang on for just a second, Mike. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. There is a vehicle crash at Possum Ridge Road and Sparkle Drive. That is over in Crestview. Roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mike Wood with the Pensacola Police Department. Anything else? You know, you've heard my conversations, of course, with DC about this. You've heard me talking about it. And you and I have talked about this now twice. Anything else about the parade Saturday that you want to make sure people know in advance to kind of mitigate against some of the problems that will come from people not knowing what's going on?
Yes, the perimeter is being pushed back, as it's been shown on the map. So you have people that live down there that normally let people come to their home to park and to go to the parade route that may be closed off this year. The same thing applies to them. Just let the officer know that has that intersection blocked that you live there or that you're going to visit someone that lives there, and they're going to get you to where you need to go. We're just having to, once the parade starts, before actually to install the perimeter, the barricades, we just have to close those streets down. But if you live there, again, we're not going to keep you from going to your homes.
Gotcha. And I thought the mayor's note yesterday that the angled parking that people often park their trucks on west of Plaza Ferdinand is not going to be available to park on because no parking anywhere along the parade route, those cars will get towed, right?
Yeah, and you know, the signs have been up for several days on the parade route. That's something that we cannot tolerate for obvious safety reasons,
right?
And those vehicles will be towed. So, if you're parking there and you think you're going to be just a minute and you end up having a few drinks and you take a cab home, that's going to be a problem. We're going to have to tow that vehicle, and it's going to be at your expense. So please do not park on the parade route.
Great, great, good advice. And also, just because I just want to make sure, if you weren't listening to all the coverage we've done on this, people have wondered, well, if I can't get into the perimeter, what about walking? Oh, yeah, pedestrians, of course. I mean, you know, we're going to have 100,000 people on the parade route. So,
yeah.
You know, pedestrians are fine. Let's talk about some
other.
Yeah,
it's going to be a beautiful day.
No, it's going to be fun. It's always
be a beautiful
it's a,
day
it's a great
both
show.
Parades. So, yeah, get there early and go find your spot and have a great time this weekend.
We had an incident at the airport where somebody tried to force their way through TSA. What happened here?
Yeah, that was last Friday. An individual approached TSA and then tried to force his way through there. Fortunately, the TSA and there was a Pensacola police officer that works at the airport was close, and they took that individual into custody without further incident. That's something that's taken very seriously for obvious reasons. So fortunately, he did not get onto the concourse, because if that happens, there's a whole lot of other protocol that's in place, and it will cause lots of delays. So he was taken care of before he was able to breach that area.
I mean, did you – I a device, a weapon, just mental illness? He was agitated because he was late. Do we know, like, what was the reason?
No, there were no weapons or anything like that. And okay, as far as the reason goes, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay, all right. Also, I guess there was some kind of an incident that took place at the, we always call it the old medical facility. I thought it was a hospital, but the giant abandoned building on Palafox that is just a nasty, massive eyesore, perimeter fenced off with portable fencing or whatever. But you guys caught some folks inside of it?
Yeah, two Pensacola police officers on routine patrol noticed two individuals in that perimeter inside that fenced-in area. They took them into custody and found about 40 pounds of precious metals that were stripped from the building on them, as well as burglary tools. So they were charged accordingly.
Wow. Okay. So they're in there looking for copper pipes or whatever it is, and they found some, and we found them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's good police work right there.
Yeah. And, no kidding.
But yeah, that's it's been a problem before. A lot of from a homeless being in there, but I don't. This is the first time that I'm aware of theft, or you know, that's a burglary is what that is.
Yeah.
Occurred. So we are keeping an eye on that building, and you know, it's a shame that people do things like that, but it is what it is, and hats off to our patrol units for finding those individuals and taking them into custody.
Yeah, was that you may have said it and I missed it, but was that we saw them, saw lights inside, or did somebody report them, or how we got into looking for them in the first place? Do you know?
No, the officers were on routine patrol and noticed them inside the perimeter.
What? You mean eyes on the street actually prevents crimes? Look at that. that's the best way to prevent crime, right?
Yes, sir.
Outstanding. You know, I haven't asked you about this in a while. I haven't heard much in the news about ShotSpotter. I know, I guess, the sheriff's office is in the process of asking for, you know, funding to re-up that. I think we're 2 years in, something like that. Has ShotSpotter been used much recently?
Yes, it's been very useful to us. It's resulted in several calls that we may not have gotten without it, and that just happened again Sunday night. There was a shot fired in the 1800 block of North F Street, and officers arrived and found a shell casing there, and they also ended up locating the suspect and arrested him. The firearm and a felony amount of marijuana were also confiscated. So, yeah, the system works really well, and again, nobody was hurt here, so chances are we probably wouldn't have gotten a call on it.
Right. Wow, that's great. I mean, that's terrible that it happened, but do we know anything about why the shot was fired? I mean, obviously, you find somebody with the possession of drugs, you can infer, but do we know anything about what happened?
No, I don't have the reason why he did that, but we're just glad that nobody was hurt.
Yeah, and I mean, we had this story that Chip was telling us about with the, you know, there was a fight over some marijuana in McDavid and wound up somebody getting shot and killed. And, you know, what's the thing that all of you guys have always said the same thing as long as I've lived here, which is if you want to avoid violence, stay out of the drug business, right?
Yeah, if you're going to get into the illegal drug business, you can count on something like that happening to you. That's why it doesn't happen to people that are not in the illegal narcotics business most of the time. Occasionally, there's a stray bullet, but that doesn't happen very often. So, if you're going to play with illegal narcotics, you're gonna end up dead or in prison sooner or later. That's unfortunately the way it is.
Yeah, I know Sheriff Morgan used to always say, basically, you know, if you don't hang around with the wrong people and you don't do the wrong things, your chances go way up. You know, that's most likely. We always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week, Mike?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this, but it used to be a second degree or a third degree felony if you killed a police dog. And in Florida, that changed in 2019. Killing a police dog is now a second degree felony and can result in up to 15 years in prison. It was strengthened in 2019 after the death of a canine during a carjacking incident in Jacksonville, Florida. So this also applies not only to police dogs, but police horses and fire department search and rescue dogs as well.
Hmm. Well, good. And, you know, I just from talking to cop friends, I tell you, the level of protection emotionally that they have for these canines and these horses is it's robust. Is that a fair way to say it, Mike?
Absolutely. They have four legs instead of two, but they're all the same.
Amen.
They're just like us. and the penalty should be the same.
Cherished family members, members of the operation. Pensacola Police Department spokesman, Public Information Officer Mike Wood. Mike, as always, thank you for the time. We look forward to getting the information out to all the listeners, especially regarding the parade on Friday and Saturday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Everybody come down this weekend. Have a great time. It's good talking to you.